race there.
So two things can be true. They both can't be true, but one of these two things can be true. Their lack of interest, because it does kind of spook me and scare me a little bit that the best team and the dynastic team that needs a wide receiver deemed this player good enough and we didn't. Their analysis is different than ours. Now, the difference is they have Patrick Mahomes, but by that logic, do they really even need to go out and get a wide receiver? Because they could just assume he's going to make anybody productive. Why give up anything? If you believe that your quarterback is such a force multiplier that he makes everything around him better. But it does. Certain organizations tend to get things right more than they get things wrong. And when they identify a player as someone that can help them and the Steelers don't,
makes you wonder.
It does make me wonder, exactly. So
maybe it's a type of player thing. The Steelers feel like he's redundant with Pickens.
Maybe, but the two things I thought of would be, A, they actually like the guys that they have more than we like them. And they don't think DeAndre Hopkins is really that much of an upgrade over what they have here right now. Or they're biding their time for something bigger. Why trade a fifth-round pick?
Would you trade a first for Garrett Wilson?
Probably not, but it really took me a long time to answer that. Yeah, Florio brought that up earlier.
You were so emphatic, too, with your answers. Very convincing.
I mean, I'm just coming off a game where I watched the guy get hit in the numbers with the football, and it bounced to our corner who was undrafted, and he returned it to the one-yard line. So you're really catching me on the wrong day when it comes to giving up a ton for a guy who is uber-talented and won Offensive Rookie of the Year a couple of years ago, but maybe because of circumstance and the quarterbacks he's had has just not been as productive as I thought he would the last year plus. I don't think you can wait for that opportunity.
I'm saying what's
to come
bigger
across.
That's out there? Like, what's a bigger deal? You said maybe biding Cup. Their time.
Maybe Cup. Maybe Cup's the guy they've been.
How much better is Cup right this second than Hopkins? I know he's better if he's healthy. How much better?
I'm going to say that Hopkins is a 6 out of 10, and I'm going to say that Kupp is an 8 to 8.5 out of 10.
Here's an argument for Hopkins.
Now, availability is your best ability.
No,
best ability.
That's not what I'm going to say.
What would Cook always say about the Jerome Bettis thing, Donnie? What was his thing? You can't make
you can't make the team from the trainer.
You can't
room.
Make the club in the tub, bro.
Yeah, there it is. There was. Hey, that's very good, actually. There's a case to be made, though, that Hopkins is better still even right now, and it's this. Kupp has succeeded in one system, granted with two quarterbacks. He spans the Goff era back there, too.
Yeah, but they're both damn good quarterbacks. That would be like saying Rice did well with Montana and Young. I mean, they're both going to the Hall of Fame.
Yes. Can I finish? You're making my point for me here without maybe realizing it. Kupp has succeeded in one basic system with two very good quarterbacks, mm-hmm. both of whom have played for Super Bowls, one of whom has won it. The other one might win it this year. Hopkins has, I believe, had 1,000-yard seasons with 6 or 7 different quarterbacks. Deshaun Watson, he's had a 1,000-yard season. Was that still in the... That wasn't Kurt Warner. That was Kyler Murray. His Houston season with Watson, Arizona with Kyler. Who was Tennessee's primary last year?
Will Levis took over.
Okay. I believe there's a year in there where Houston didn't have Watson yet, and so there's a couple Matt Schaub or somebody?
Maybe Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Fitzpatrick's one of them, too. So he put up a 1,000-yard season for Houston in a year where the following guys started at least one game. Brandon Whedon, TJ Yates of hell, ugh. Ryan Mallett, Brian Hoyer. He also put up 1,000 yards his second season.
Well, I did just say he's a borderline Hall of Fame player,
Fitzpatrick,
Chris.
Case Keenum, and Mallett again. My point is the guy in various systems with sometimes the dregs of the league throwing to him has always produced.
So I think you just talked yourself into the idea that you would have made this Chiefs trade instead of waiting on
Cooper
Kupp.
Well, I was
what
more,
I just heard
I, yes, and what answer. I was more, I guess, trying to rebut on the fly here because it just popped into my head was the idea that when you're waiting for something bigger and better, that means Cooper Kupp. I'm not so sure that that's actually going to bear out.
412-928-9370. Let's get to some of your calls on this, beginning with Dan. He's on the fan. Hello, Dan.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you?
Hey, man.
Hey, so I just have a question first. Oh, I'm sorry. Shoot. I'm a truck driver. I apologize.
You're good. We love truck drivers on the show.
Yes, we're a big fan of the truck driver crowd.
Yeah.
We just don't want you to jackknife that truck while you're trying to make a point
on
a sports talk show.
We love what you guys do for America.
No, I'm actually stopped right now, so we're good. So anyway, is there any chance that – so correct me if I'm wrong, but the Rams have a Thursday night football game tomorrow, correct?
Tomorrow. Yep.
Okay. So is there any chance that tomorrow is kind of a tryout as far – and I'm not saying that Cooper Kupp isn't good or that we're not going to get him, but is a tryout as far as what we're willing to give up for him?
I think it – I don't think it's been plainly stated to the Rams that way. Like, we got to see him first, but I think it's – fair to say that teams that are interested want to see what he looks like before they give up a king's ransom for him. You don't want to trade for damaged goods. But I also think the other side of it is I don't think the Rams are ready to throw in the towel on their season before they see what their offense looks like with Kupp back in it. So I think that Steelers fans should want the Vikings to win this game so Kupp is on the market and it's more of a real likelihood than just the Rams doing like exploratory research on what they might or might not get for him. I think their objective for the season could shift from let's try to win now, even with Aaron Donald retiring in the offseason.
To rebuild time.
To we need to start to recoup some picks for older players, yes. Here is Anthony and Shaler. Hello, Anthony. Anthony?
Yes, I'm here.
Anthony, do you know Brian Batko?
I do not.
He's from Shaler.
There's a lot of guys. There's a lot of people from Shaler.
Do you know intern Dom?
I do not.
He's also from Shaler.
You know what? We are like the best town. Every time I tell anybody I'm from Shaler, either they're excited about the area, and they're like, oh, you have such a great school district over there, and you got
definitely.
So over there. I mean,
would you say
Shaler
is a cat town or a dog town?
I'd say a mix of both. Mm. Mostly a dog town.
Okay. What do you got for us, Anthony?
Guys, DeAndre Hopkins is one of the best wide receivers in the NFL still, and he would have been 100 times better pick than Cooper Kupp. However,
100 times better. You're making it sound like Hopkins is still a stud and Kupp is ready to get put out to pasture, for crying out loud.
His hands are, he catches every ball. The ball sticks to his hands, guys. I mean, the reason they didn't pick him is pure and simple, is that they have an elite wide receiver in Pickens. And you can't have two of those elite wide receivers.
You're not allowed. So the Steelers were not allowed to have Swan and Stallworth together in the 70s. They actually broke a rule when they did that.
Well, let's talk about the fact that Swan was a much more
don't say it.
I'm sorry.
Don't say it was much better because John Football is about to call in and put a boot right up your rear end for saying that.
No, he was skilled, a much better skilled wide receiver than Stallworth.
Hey, Anthony.
They were both.
Hey, Anthony, how did the Bengals make it work with T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase?
Listen, I'm not saying they weren't. They're two different wide receivers. Those are two different wide receivers.
Why wouldn't you want a wide receiver that, in your opinion, catches every ball that's thrown to him, and you could have had him for a fifth-round pick? Why are you trying to rationalize that? If that guy was available for a day three pick.
I would have taken him. No. I'm telling you, my viewers didn't take him.
Well, then they shouldn't want Cooper Kupp, and we have more people to get to.
I just like to imagine him stopped at a stop sign backing up traffic with people honking at him.
If your opinion is, this town ain't big enough for two good wide receivers, then you should be anti-Kupp, you should be anti-Hopkins, you should have been anti-Ayuk, you should have been anti-Adams. You should think that this is a foolhardy endeavor to sniff around on these guys.
In reality, what they've done is perfectly construct a wide receiver room with one really good player at the position, and then the rest of them are just role players.
I've met DeAndre Hopkins. Congratulations on all my success. He wouldn't even tell you that he's that good. The guy had one catch for minus 2 yards last week. I know Mason Rudolph ain't exactly Ben Roethlisberger, but Mason can get the ball to people. If Mason thought that DeAndre Hopkins was going to catch every ball, he wouldn't have thrown it to him only one time last Sunday. I like DeAndre Hopkins. Let's not go overboard on him here, though, and make 100 times better than Cooper Kupp. I think if you asked every GM in the NFL, they'd cackle at that. They'd say, Anthony, you're not from Shaler. You're from friggin' crazy town. Go get that noggin examined.
They do say, whenever he talks to people about being from Shaler, they love their schools. Strong school
system. Is it known to be a great school district, Donnie? Did you know that about Shaler and the Titans up there? I believe that that's what they're called.
Well, I'll have a little chat with intern Dom tonight, but he also believes that just nobody on planet Earth does homecoming like Shaler.
Based on what?
That Dom went there.
And he got a date for homecoming?
I believe Heather Abram also went to Shaler.
Batco went there.
A venerable who's who.
Who else? Can we name one more Shaler?
I think Double M went there. Didn't Madden go to a Shaler?
Yeah,
Wasn't his mom a teacher there?
His mom taught at
North Hills. She taught at North Hills.
Oh, but he didn't go to North Hills.
Big forensics teacher there, yeah.
I thought he went to Shaler.
He did, I think, yeah.
So he didn't have the Chris Muller experience of being taught by his mom.
No. Man, don't wish that one on anyone, parent or kid.
So you're anti-homeschooling then?
Well, yeah. I mean, when was the last time you met a homeschooled kid who seemed well-adjusted to society?
My cousins were all homeschooled, Chris.
Who were well-adjusted to society.
You've never met them. How do you know they're not?
Just because I feel pretty strongly that you got to get these kids out there the rest of the kids.
I agree with Chris. I mean, I met a
Tim
lot
Tebow
of them.
Homeschooled. Would you say very well-adjusted?
What's wrong with Tim Tebow? Threw for 316 yards against
you think
the Steelers
he, you
and
think
he loves
a
Jesus.
Do you think a public school football coach would have let Tim Tebow get that throwing motion out there?
He'd say, let's play and pray. Let's get both
at
done.
A public school?
We used to say a prayer before games.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean,
everybody will get down and they'll do like the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer.
We used to get a little prayer going.
But that's about it.
That's still a prayer.
Yeah.
That's the number one prayer.
God, I miss the old high school basketball pregame speech by like the craziest person on the team. They'd just be MFing everybody in the other locker room and then we'd run up there. We'd do like a Hail Mary after that. Kid would have gotten done unleashing every profanity in the book, and then we'd do the Hail Mary, literally.
I mean, our baseball coach would say things like, guys, I got to be honest with you. We're not going to win this game today. Just don't embarrass me. Don't do anything dumb.
I mean, the best pump-up speech a coach ever gave was we were losing to Sharon at the half of a Christmas tournament, and our coach told us to strap – an assistant coach said, you guys got to strap it on and play harder. And the head coach and the other assistants just, you would think, serious business, burst out laughing. No one kept it in. Matt Cole, Shaler graduate.
It's time for the Hawk Report. Our 93.7thefan.com Steelers insider, Jeff Athorn, brought to you by LGKG Injury Lawyers. 7 locations in the Pittsburgh region. They'll take your personal injury case personally. LGKG.com. Jeff, are the Steelers going to trade for Cooper Kupp?
They're still in the market for another receiver, but it would have to be much different than what the Rams reportedly want. They're not going to give up a second-round pick for Cooper Kupp. They're also going to want, as has been reported, some of that salary to be eaten by the Rams, and then they would look at changing that contract for next year, potentially getting out of it. Well, I think they would be owed $5 million if it didn't work out. So is it a potential? Yes. Are they going to give up much to get him, given his injury history? No.
Jeff, what's going on with Roman Wilson to keep it on the wide receiver front? Like, he could be the wide receiver that the Steelers need that plugged into their lineup, but there's the whole problem of the head coach not seeming like he's in any rush to do that.
If you want to get in Tomlin's doghouse, just not be able to get on the field. Like it just fries him. And there's been two injuries that he's dealt with. He missed most of camp. Then, he gets back out and then he's dealing with another injury. And I'm not saying that Tomlin just forgets about people like that, but it's almost like he's, all right, I'm going to go look at other guys that can stay on the field. Like, he's really blunt about injuries with guys, and he just needs to continue to be consistent, continue to show up. An injury is going to happen, and he's going to get that chance. And when he does, he's got to take care of it, or, you know, take care of that opportunity. But that's what it is. I mean, and, you know, it's not like this was a first rounder or someone that is like George Pickens, to where athletically you watch him practice and you think, damn.
Well, you say that, but Kabali came on the radio station earlier and said he does look like one of their best receivers. So I guess it's in the eye of the beholder. It doesn't sound like you're seeing that kind of performance from Roman Wilson at Steelers practice.
Yeah, what I'm not seeing is a guy that looks like a difference maker, would be my point. Is he one of their best receivers? Well, yes. But is he a guy that stands out to me in practice? No.
Like, who are the guys that are playing over him that your eyes tell you Roman Wilson is a better option than these wide receivers?
Oh, I'm not telling you he's a better option or that he's not a better option than Van Jefferson, although Jefferson's a decent blocker. Or Calvin Austin, although Austin has the intangible of being a returner and also, you know, has that speed. I mean, yes, he's a better option than Scotty Miller, but again, those injuries is what has him in the position that he is with Tomlin.
You say that it burns Tomlin up when guys can't get on the field. Like, that actually sounds kind of weird to me. Football is a game of injuries, and it sounds like he gets annoyed and frustrated in your telling of it when guys get hurt. How are they supposed to control that if you mess up your knee or you mess up your shoulder, you messed up your knee or your shoulder? What's the player supposed to do?
Well, of course, it's different depending on how long you've been with the team, what your background is, what your pedigree is. I'm talking about younger guys that are trying to establish themselves. And I get what you're saying, Chris, and that's obviously a reality. I mean, it's not like these guys are trying to get hurt. Injuries happen. But those guys have to work extra hard, do extra things. I'm not saying he's not working. What I'm saying is it's just one of those things with Tomlin. You hear about it, you know, not making the club from the tub and frustrations. Right. Along
did you hear
those
that, Donnie?
Lines, he said it for years.
Donnie did an impression of Cook saying that earlier. Would you like to do the same thing?
I'll stick with Donnie's.
Donnie, could you do it again for Jeff?
Yeah,
allow
let him
to
hear it.
Analyze it?
You can't make the club from the tub, bub.
That's actually really good.
Have you been working on your Cook?
Not really, but I don't know. Maybe working with Joe...
You can't make the club from the tub, bub.
I thought at first when I heard that pause, he was doing a real impression of Ron not having his mic on.
Hold on.
Ron in Cooks Forest wants to talk about Jared Jones. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Palsy, you know what they say. You can't make the club in the tub, bub.
How on earth? I still don't understand Ron and Cooks Forest, and Falsey's like, yep, send it
Jeff,
on
do
through.
You still get texts from Ron? Has he been AWOL for you, or do you still get a text or two from Ron these days?
No, it's been a while. He's just enjoying himself too much down there when there's not a hurricane.
Yeah, good point. What else is a big takeaway from practice today?
We probably saw some video that... So today there's no practice report. So there's really this where
it's the bonus
really
day.
Gets stupid.
It's the bonus day thing.
But if you look at online, Cordarrelle Patterson was able to do some stuff today. So I don't know if I'm in trouble for saying that, but let's just go there. So I mean that's what these guys talked a lot about was these topic of the day from us to them was a lot about the second half adjustments that they're making and. How they've got to get off to better starts defensively more so even than offensively. And then Freiermuth was talking about how not surprised, but how impressed he was with how Russell Wilson handled all of it in the stadium. You know, those three drives that ended in punts after the field goal and the boos are kind of like how he just kept his poise. He was very much impressed with how Wilson just kind of stayed the same dude during all of that.
You know, I am noticing that despite everything we've heard that Fields really won over his teammates and was a really good leader and seemed pretty even keeled, Jeff, it has been evident that these guys, to a man, have talked about how, like, the just the level of confidence, professionalism, intangible stuff, whatever you want to call it, does seem to have gone significantly up with Wilson in there.
And I don't even know if it's an either or. I think they like them both.
Yeah, but they're talking about Russ differently. It just I noticed that because I didn't think it would necessarily be that way.
And Chris, I'll say this for Russ, and you've heard this from guys from OTAs on all the way through. He makes an effort to get to know about guys. Like, he asks them where they went to school, where they're from. Like, I mean, is some of it like he knows what to do at this point in his career? Sure. But he does. He goes around and these guys are impressed with the fact, especially the young ones, like, wait, this dude won a Super Bowl, and he's asking me about, like, stuff I did in high school. So he's been very good at getting to know his teammates and try to understand them. And I think that has made this whole situation so much better because they do. They like them both.
Jeff Hathorn, check out his latest from Steelers practice over at 93.7thefan.com. We'll be covering them all week, and then the game Monday night against the Giants, the Hawk Report. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, boys.
That's 8 gavel pounds.
Court is back in session. All rise for the Honorable Judge Donnie Football. May we
today,
sit down?
Sit down.
I think it's be seated, isn't it?
Be seated. Sit down.
What voice is that you're
go,
using?
You should just go and sit your ass down.
What the heck judge voice is
hey,
that?
Hey, sit down.
Yeah,
just a Yinzer judge.
Judge Yinzer. Hey, sit down, all right? This ain't church. Okay.
Today's case, well, this one a little bit complicated, a little bit wordy.
Oh, you can do it this
way.
Would
you rather have Russell Wilson with his salary of approximately $1
million? $1.21
million. Or Lamar Jackson under his salary of approximately $38 million?
By the way, Your Honor, before we start the proceedings, I would like to give a shout-out to someone who couldn't be here today, and that would be Cowboys kicker Brandon Aubrey, who also couldn't be at practice because he had jury duty.
Donnie and I both, I
he
think—
may be in this jury.
Donnie and I both—
There is no jury. You're the— You're everything.
I'm the judge, jury, and execution.
It's a bench trial. That's where the judge just renders the verdict.
That was going to be a hodgepodge.
Same with me. You and I both. I bookmarked it. You retweeted it. Yeah.
How did I thought you could see his like still?
No, I book. No, he retweeted it.
Oh, gotcha. Sorry about that, Judge. Who would you like to start here? The prosecution or the defense?
Prosecution may proceed.
That's you, I believe.
That's me.
The way we had this written.
All right.
2 minutes, 1 minute. What are we doing here?
2 minutes.
Okay. Ready, set, go.
Donnie, this is a very, Your Honor, this is a very easy case. $1.2 million, last I checked, is $36.8 million less than $38 million. So Lamar Jackson would need to be 36 times better than Russell Wilson for Lamar Jackson to win this case and to be found not guilty on all charges. Let's go through the reasons why Russell Wilson is better. Lamar Jackson, do you want to pay $38 million to a guy who can't win in the playoffs? 2-4, 6 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, a 75.7 passer rating. He turns into Mitch Trubisky in the big games. My client, Russell Wilson, has won a Super Bowl and been to another. Lamar Jackson needs to beat the big bad wolf that is the Kansas City Chiefs. Problem is, he sucks against them. He's 1-4 all time against Kansas City. And let me bring up maybe my most convincing piece of evidence. Would you ever want a quarterback if you were, say, at Ohio State who couldn't beat Michigan? How about a quarterback at Army who couldn't beat Navy? That ain't cool, because that's your biggest rival. Lamar Jackson in six games versus the Steelers. Seven fumbles, seven interceptions, four touchdowns, sacked 20 times, zero rushing touchdowns. And Donnie, lastly, I know you're a man of the people. The people on this topic have already spoken. They're the people that elect you into this very important role that you have here as Judge Donnie every Wednesday at 5:30. This question was asked to 4,000 people on Twitter. Would you rather have Russell Wilson for $1 million or Lamar Jackson at his cap hit? 55% said, give me Russell Wilson. And oh, by the way, last year.
Time's up.
Damn it.
Defense.
Your Honor, I'd like to begin by stating for a fact that counsel has willfully misled the people. According to SpotTrack.com, Russell Wilson's cap hit this year is, in fact, $1.21 million. Lamar Jackson's a mere $32.4 million. So I find it specious already that counsel's argument uses an incorrect number to try to bolster their case. Secondly, at no point in time has anybody...
That was the annual average, Your Honor.
At no point in time has anybody who has followed the NFL looked at the pay scales for quarterbacks and gone on to say, ah, yes, player A, who makes $53 million, must be 53 times better than player B to justify his salary. This suggests a lack of understanding about dynamic salary structures and the cost of doing business in the NFL. But, Your Honor, that's really not the crux of my argument. The crux of my argument is this. I get 2 minutes.
He still has another minute.
Oh, I thought it was one.
Are you high? Throw him out of the courtroom.
Take it easy, Mr. Filippone.
Throw him out of the courtroom, Judge. Your Honor, the question was, who would you rather have, Lamar Jackson at his cap number or Russell Wilson at his? Counsel's entire case was built on the fact that Lamar Jackson has historically struggled against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I would have him on my team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, at $32.4 million in this exercise. Lamar Jackson is well on his way to winning his third MVP award, his second MVP in a row. He is a force multiplier for everyone around him. He can take a patchy offensive line and make it look better with his scrambling ability. He has shown to be incredibly dynamic when paired with Derrick Henry, making an all-time great that much better, and he has gotten progressively more refined in the passing game. If the biggest charge you can levy is that he can't beat perhaps the greatest quarterback ever in the playoffs, I'll live with that and take my chances.
Time up, time up.
4, 5, 6, 7.
All rise.
No final argument?
I'm saying all rise.
Oh, you're like a southern judge. Who are you? You sound like Foghorn Leghorn in the courtroom.
You sound like the judge for My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah, he does.
What was that guy's name?
I don't know.
He looked like the guy from the Munsters.
Wasn't that Fred Gwynn?
He might
Tony's
be.
Tony's older brother?
Tony. No. Not Tony's older brother.
Fred Gwynn,
the late
I think.
Fred Gwynn.
I think Munster. It was.
Okay, I was right about the Munsters then.
Yeah.
I mean, give me some credit there. I'm not always good on these.
Is Marissa Tomei walking
things.
In here?
She never did it for me, but that's another story.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that might hurt you some points here, Sonny.
Sonny?
I love how somehow this trial is taking place in Birmingham, Alabama.
What the heck? What is this like?
What would you say, dear boy, what would you say your problem is with Miss Tomei?
All right.
In the case of Russell Wilson for $1 million versus Lamar Jackson for $38 million, I find myself in favor of the defense.
Yes. Yes.
LaMarvelous Jackson.
Yes.
Of course.
Finally, sanity reigns in this courtroom. Finally.
People are going to love you guys over on the Fan 105.7 in Baltimore.
What are they talking about today on the Inside Access
Jason
show?
Jason Lockenfora wants the whole entire Orioles organization fired.
They got some QC Kinetics to do it, too, at 312.
He wants to bring back Earl Weaver's manager corner. That's an inside joke. Google it. All right. Good stuff. Actually, no, not good stuff. I lost. I am still 2-1 all time in Donnie's courtroom, though.
I feel like I'm, for the record here, 1-2 is pretty good because you set the agenda on who's taking what side.
You didn't think today that I thought I was fighting an uphill battle having listened to Donnie's opinions on
Lamar
Jackson.
You're being very parochial and provincial, though.
I'm trying to be fair. And I'm not even the judge here.
I mean, it was an easy argument for me. Do I want the best player in the league?
No, it was not an easy argument.
One of the three best players in the league at his possession?
The majority of people on Twitter agree with me.
Do you think the majority of people on Twitter are right about things?
The majority tends to be right on most things.
Are they? Really?
Yeah, like how about all those dentists that thought that Crest was better than Colgate?
Four out of five.
I have no response for that. I did not think you'd be going out of 9 out of 10 dentists to recommend.
But man, really, no Marissa Tomei.
How about Aquafresh? Really, didn't get any love there in that whole toothpaste. No.
Marissa Tomei, very.
Nah.
I mean, very
without
appealing.
Without
question. The attitude. Yeah.
Didn't do anything for me.
Remember when she was into George Costanza and he was trying to leave his fiance for her?
I always liked Stifler's mom more.
What?
Man. I think you're barking up the wrong tree, brother.
Yeah.
What?
That was kind of you missed it the other day when you were out. Seth came in and produced for you on a football Friday and said that his ideal woman is somewhere between 35 and 45 years old, that he likes to date way up. And so I think because of where I was in life when that movie came out, it was appealing to me, the idea of
somebody the age of like one of your friend's moms hitting on you and seducing
you. Yeah, it was.
I
mean,
the whole basis for the movie The Graduate, isn't it not?
Never seen it, but yes.
Yeah, Mrs. Robinson.
Seth also gave us
that idea.
I know, Marissa Tomei, don't have to justify this.
And I thought the Shannon Elizabeth character in that movie was a knockout, too.
Okay, well, she's not like mom-aged. She's contemporary-aged, and she is very much a knockout.
And made the foreign exchange student kind of thing also a kink for me.
I have something I have to decide if I'm going to share off the air. It did not happen to me, but it involved a foreign exchange student at my high school, and it's one of those ones I think I probably need to keep in the quiver.
Okay.
But all I'll say is Seth.
I hate when you do that.
Seth told us that he was into older women, like in their 32 to 40 range, very exact range, because he was poo pooing a particularly comely, I believe is the word, draft analyst. On Twitter, who makes picks while walking, or not draft analyst, betting analyst, who makes picks while walking. He poo-pooed this particular analyst's looks. Pony and I were gobsmacked by this.
I'm kind of concerned for his vision. You got to have good eyesight to do this job.
Yeah, I was really thrown off by that.
We were just astounded by what he said. I think he called her kind of mid.
Yeah, he did.
Please.
Mid. He said mid. Something else that I'm not going to repeat.
That was a beggar being very much a chooser.
Let's look at Mueller's cooking for this week's game presented by Saloni's Italian Bakery.
All right, let's do
that. So does that mean tomorrow night's game or does that mean Monday?
Monday's game. I'm going.
Monday's technically next week.
Yeah, but it's this week's game for the Steelers. We're talking about the NFL week. It's like the Gregorian calendar, I think. Anyway. I'm between two, wedding soup here, which easy one for me to throw together. I think I'm going to go with that. Or the chicken chili, Pony.
How about Skyline chili?
No, see, somebody said, oh, you love Joey Burr so much. You love him. You might as well eat some Skyline chili. Absolutely not. I got Palazzolo threatening to send me Skyline chili because even though he lives in Cincinnati, he hates it too.
Palazzolo's off tomorrow because we've got Syracuse and Pitt, and we're going to be down at Tequila Cowboy. For the show.
Man, what are the chances Haley would show up?
Nikki Haley?
Todd Haley.
Oh. I mean, Malty, you laugh at that, but all these politicians are coming to town. I mean, the idea that she wouldn't stop in Pittsburgh at some point is really not that far-fetched.
Jeff in South Park, I think Marissa Tomei is probably the most attractive brunette actress of all time. Pony is wrong yet again. I don't know if I can go
that
far.
Why is he throwing shade at me like that now?
I can't go that far with Jeff saying of all time, because all time is a long time,
Jeff,
but
you know,
good work.
I'm a Penguins fan too, but pipe down a little bit, okay? Let's get our goalie situation ironed out before you start throwing bows at people over which 1990s actress they were into, okay? Why don't you worry about Tristan Jari and Ned and Bloomquist right now?
I think Jeff would rather think about like Marissa Tomei. He's watched those guys play goal.
So he's now lashing out at me because
he's I think it's residual
anger.
They blew a lead in the last minute.
Well, that's not fair.
What, that he's projecting his anger about something else onto you?
Yeah. I hate when like a spouse or significant other does that.
Do you do it?
No.
Never?
I mean, I guess I'm actually guilty of exactly what I'm getting mad at Jeff for. If a game doesn't go the way that I want, I do tend to.
So you're just projecting a flaw in your character on him now.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. Shut up, Malzy. Brought to you by Sun Chevy. I just said that. Some clouds now low. Now you've got me off my game now. Low 47.
What the hell's wrong with you? You know why? Because you're thinking back to the Seth portion of this conversation, and now you're distracted.
It was a very bad job by him.
Yeah, it wasn't a good job.
It was almost as bad of a job as him as the hot dog eating contest. When the guy was watching videos and doing research on what he needed to eat before and after and everything that was going to help him win. And then I think he came in like fourth or fifth place. And then he let out one of the worst smelling farts.
Oh, yeah, he did.
I've ever been around in my entire life. It never went away. It stunk up a room for at least an hour.
A Super Bowl fart. What was the worst performance from Seth? That or when I believe he was supposed to be producing like on location where like morning show was staying over, maybe in Punxsutawney a while back.
Oh, yeah.
They were having a few drinks and they were like, Seth, don't you have to get up early tomorrow? He said, don't worry, I'm built different.
And then he was late and he was not even close to being built
different. It turns out he was built different, just worse than everyone.